Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever wondered, what does God expect of me? What does God expect of me? I'm here on this earth. What does he expect of me? What do you want me to do? How about, have you ever thought about what is my purpose for living? What is my purpose for being here on this earth? What is God's purpose in my life? Have you thought about this one? How can my life make a difference? How can I live my life, but how can my living life make a difference? Some of us may say, I'm just me. I can't do anything. I can't help anybody. Well, truth is, you can. But he can through you. But we have to be those vessels that are yielded to him and on point with what he's given us to do. How about this question? How do I make my life count for God? How do I make my life count for God? Well, I've got the part of the answer. We have a slide. Do you have it ready, Lynn? Thank you so much. What on earth am I here for? I know the other week I said, what on earth am I good for? I don't know what that's going to be anyway. But what on earth? What on earth am I here for? We're going to be starting that at the end of February. And along with that, you're going to be here in the small groups. You'll be introduced to all the small groups. We have some small groups that are already working and already meeting. And I tell you, small groups are a vital part of getting to know people and getting to help people. You know, we don't have time today to be able to say, okay, what you got, what's on your heart, what's on your heart, what's on your mind. We just don't have time to do that in a large setting. But you do in a small group. Getting to know each other. You know, the Bible says iron sharpening iron. I mean, you know, you got to be close to somebody for them to let the sparks fly. You know, it's not a bad thing. It really is not. It really isn't. It's straight. It's making straight the edge. Make it straight. And we're starting this, and like I said, the end of February, and we'd like for everybody to be a part of a small group. You'll be introduced by Brother Ed and Brother Lee. They're the directors of our small groups now. We thank you so much for doing that. And we want everybody to get excited about this. I'm excited about it. It's going to be about 6 weeks long, but it is going to be absolutely phenomenal. You're going to walk away answering these questions and other questions that you currently have. So get ready. You know, somebody said, well, don't be like T.D. Jakes and say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Well, I don't do that. Well, I just did. You know, so, but we need to get ready and prepare ourselves for what's coming. And this is going to help us do that. Amen. So keep that in mind, and let's find our passion, find our heart beating for God and what he wants us to do. And that's what's going to help us. Amen. You agree with that? Yes. Amen. Amen. I want you to go to the book of James. I got a question to ask you, another question. It's like, what are the marks of a mature Christian? What are the marks? There's a lot of them, and we're not going to discuss all of them. But in the book of James, the first one he mentions is the joy. Count all your trials what? Joy. Whatever you're going through, count them as joy. Excuse me. Count your trials as joy. So joy in our trials, we need to understand that it's just not like I'm being beat up on. That's not what he's talking about. That's the reason we fight it. We think jumping up and down. We think, hey, I got troubles. I got a flat tire. I got to start jumping up and down, start hallelujah. You know, not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about, this word count means to lead the trial. I'm going through a trial. I'm going through a difficulty. I'm going through a problem. So he says, count it joy. It is something to sum up, but the depth of it means to you take the lead of the trial instead of the trial leading you. Now, can you get into that more so than just being happy? You lead the trial. You're going through something difficult, then you lead whatever that trial is with joy. Lead it with joy. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're experiencing, depend on the Holy Spirit. Understand, as a matter of fact, Miss Vicky said, he tried to steal my joy, but he couldn't. Nah, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He can't steal it. Do you have the Lord?
Yes.
He is the joy. Yes. They didn't steal the Lord from you, did they? No, nobody stole the Lord. The devil can't take the Lord from you. So he is your joy. You always have joy. Whether we experience it and behave that way is left up to us. So first, one of the first marks that James talked about, lead your trial with joy. Amen? If you want to be mature, that's what you're going to have to do. That's what he says to do. The other thing is, number two is in verse 12. He says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. To persevere under the trial. And once you are approved, you'll receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So the second mark of maturity is to triumph in temptation. Well, what's going on? Well, I've been tempted. Well, Jesus was tempted, but he didn't fall. The temptation in itself is not you sinning. I heard Billy Graham say one time, many years ago, he said, you can't stop a bird from landing on your head. When it lands, when it hits, you can't stop that. But you can sure stop it from building a nest. I loved that when he said it, and I said, that is good. That is good. It's like a story, like a analogy, but the thing is, persevere under trial. What does the word mean to persevere? It means to face all your troubles, all your difficulties. Number one, lead them with joy. And he said, face all these things you're going through with unwavering courage and faithfulness. That's being triumphant. That's being victorious. See, so we can go through things and all of a sudden we can become a victim instead of a victor. So when we start becoming victims, we take on a victim mentality. And now we expect things. Now we feel like we need to be entitled. This happened to me, so I'm entitled. That's not God. It's not God. We're not supposed to be victims. So we need to be triumphant in it. So we don't need to become victims. Doesn't mean that we have arrived. By the way, maturity doesn't come at one time. Your salvation comes one time. How many of you remember the day you surrendered your life, repented of your sins, and he just reached down and saved you, pulled you out of the mire that you was in? How many of you remember that? Give him praise. Give him praise for that. If you haven't experienced that, that's your first thing you need to do. That's not a reality in your life. It needs to be a reality. But maturing is growing. Growing up. How many of you are fully grown in your spiritual life? We're not there. But the question is, are we in the process of growing? Are we becoming more like Christ? Are we becoming in our behavior? Yeah, we're seated in heavens. We all know that. But what is my behavior on this earth? What am I doing? What am I going through? How is my relationship with the Holy Spirit? Am I being led by the Spirit of God, or am I being led by the situation and the circumstances? How many of you have ever been led by the circumstances? Half of you. The other half of you need to repent. We've all been led by the circumstances, been led by things other than the Spirit of God. But see, this is a mark of being a mature Christian. Counting it all joy. But that's not what I want to talk to you today. I'll spend a few minutes with that, but that's not what I want to talk to you today. So that part was good, wasn't it? Yeah. It's the Bible and it's the truth. And you may be able to take something home today with an understanding. I'm not leading my trials with joy. See, we can lead our trials with stubbornness. Pastor, you're meddling now. I said, okay, well. But I want to talk to you today about James 1, verse 18. I want to talk to you about being doers of the word. You know, we hear about, you know, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And, you know, basically, that's good. It's in the Bible. But we usually sit right there and we don't really study out. What is James talking about here? How can I be a doer? Well, so you be a doer just by doing. Yeah, but listen, are you doing everything that he said do? Well, then in those areas, you're not a doer. So we really need to find out what is holding back our doing. But let's look at this. In verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he brought forth by the word of truth. He brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we might be, as it were, the first fruits among his creatures. I'm going to pause for a minute and say, you need to understand, it is by the will of God that it's God's will for you to be born again. It's God's will for everybody to be born again. He wants that. For God so loved the world that he gave his... Talk to me. Would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he wants. That's his will. He wants that to happen. But he said he brought us forth. That word means that he said by his will. He, by the exercising of his will, he brought forth. He gave birth. That's what brought forth. He gave birth to us through his word. So it says, by the word of the truth, so that we might be the first fruits. We might be the people called his creatures of the first fruits. So that is the premise of what James is about to start talking about. So the next verse says this. This you know, some of them says, wherefore? He said, this you know, my beloved brethren. Who's he talking to? Who's he talking to? He's not talking to heathen. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. This, my, and matter of fact, it's just not his brethren, but his beloved. He really loves. Do you really, really love your brothers and sisters? That's a good question. Look around. Do you really, really? Yeah, but you don't know what they did. I'm not saying what they did or what they said. Do you really love your brothers and sisters? Okay, somebody's being tickled or being helped by God, you know. He said, my brethren, this word brethren means identity by being born in the same family. As Christians, we're born in the same family. So he's talking to people born again. He said, it's my brethren. Then he says, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. He just got through building this case of God bringing us into the new birth. And then he says, all right, now, my brethren, you've heard this, you know this. He says, but let everyone Be. That's imperative. That's imperative. That is not a suggestion, by the way. It's imperative. What I'm about to tell you, these things are imperative. In other words, they're more like, these are things you got to do. These are not the things you get to choose to do. These are the things you need to, you got to do. These are almost like the command of loving people, the command of loving God. These are not just options. So he goes on and he says this. He says, be quick or be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God, but you may not be achieving the living out, the behavior of the righteousness of God. Right? So he looks at this and he goes on and he says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. I like that. All that remains of wickedness. All the little things that were overflowing in wickedness in our life. But now he says there's some things that are remaining, that's still hanging around. He said you need to put it aside. It's almost like, I'm not going to do it, by the way. It's almost like stripping off your clothes. He said, remove them. Take them off and lay them aside. It doesn't mean that you're not saved, because he's talking to brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean that you're not saved. He said, here's something. Knowing what you know about what he's done for you, knowing what you know about what he's given you, he said, you need to, and knowing that you don't need to be, we won't get there, but make sure that you put off filthiness. That's the only time that word's used in the Bible. I want to talk about that in a minute. And all the remains of wickedness. He said, in humility, receive the word implanted. Implanted, endowed, get given to us, engrafted, which is able to save your souls. Now, we'll have people say, well, that means they're not saved. And I said, no, that is not what that means. It means your soul, your mind, your will, and emotion. Listen, our spirit's born again, yes or no? Yes. We're born again, and we're complete in him, yes or no? Yes. Absolutely. We're seated with him in the heavens, absolutely. But we have to evangelize our soul. What does that mean? Our mind, our will, and our emotion needs to be impacted by the Spirit of God. So he's saying, he said, it's able to help your soul. What you hear, what you feel. How many of you know your feelings need to be touched by the Lord sometime? Because we can feel like he don't care about me. He's not really looking after me because that's feelings. How many of you have those feelings? We have all kinds of feelings. He says, this right here. Is able to save. That word save means to protect, to restore, and to bring healing. To protect, to restore, and to bring healing. Make whole. To make whole. He goes on and he says this. But this thing about humility is your humility is power under control that does not resist the word of God. In humility, receive. You're not resisting. Yeah, have you ever resisted the word that God gave you? Raise your hand. All right, we're getting more honest people around here. We really are. God's doing a move. It's a revival, I tell you. It's a revival. No, but see, he's saying is that we need to make sure that in humility, not resisting what it is that God's bringing, what it is that God's saying. Don't resist that. Then he says, not resisting it, receive the word of God. First thing is hear the word of God, the word of truth, hear it. Second is receive it. Receive the implanted word, the words that have been sown. See, it's not my preaching and it's not anybody else's preaching or teaching or whatever. It is what is God saying to you through what's happening. That's more important than anything else. What is God saying by the Spirit of God to you in the midst of what's being talked about? That's what he's saying here, because this is the word that's been sown into our life that's able to straighten out our souls, to save ourselves. But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. If you may say, Pastor, I'm a Christian. Hallelujah, praise God. But I don't read the Bible. Well, but my Bible says you're operating in deception, self-deception. That's what the Bible says. I'm not saying you're deceived about being born again. I'm just saying about being, you may want to say I got saved, but being a Christian you're not doing. So this thing, he said, you operate in self-deception. You may be able to say, well, I'm a Christian and I read my Bible. I'm a Christian and I read my Bible. But here's the question. Do you do what the Bible says? If you're not doing what the Bible says, you're self-deceived. You are deceived again. I'm not telling you this is my idea. This is the Holy Word. This is God's idea. This is God saying, this is not an option for you at being a Christian. This is not an option for you. This is imperative that you become a doer of the Word. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's good. I needed that for some reason, so y'all go ahead. So what is he saying? First he says, I want you to hear the word. I want you to be quick to hear the word. Secondly, he said, I want you to receive the word. And I want you to be able to embrace that word. I want you to be able to, as a matter of fact, y'all probably will not want me to finish this message because it gets a little rougher at the end. But y'all know what I'm saying? But see, it's not that. It's what is God saying? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Amen. What's he saying to you today? You're here for a reason. What's my purpose in life? Show up and we'll start getting that. You're here for that. He goes on, he says, and the third thing is to be a doer of the word. So we need to hear, receive, and do. They're all imperatives. They're like commandments, not options. But I want you to go back and look. We're going to get more into it, maybe. But I want you to look at this thing. It says, be swift to hear. This thing about swift to hear is a readiness and an eagerness to hear his word. Did you come ready and eager to hear what God had to say today?
Yes.
So, no, I'm just doing my duty. I get to check it off. He don't have a checklist. He has the relationship. He wants us to be able to relate to him. And he to us. So he tells us that, he said, a readiness and an eagerness to hear his word. And that swift to hear has a stillness about it. Stillness about it. I tell my wife sometime, I said, I don't know if I got it across today or not, or I'm hoping the Lord did. I'm sure he did, but maybe my communication wasn't as good. She said, a lot of times you need to understand when people are quiet, they're processing. They're processing. Or doing their grocery list, one or the other. I don't know which one they're doing, but they could be doing a grocery list. They could be getting their car fixed over there. I said, no, I got something wrong with my brakes. I wonder what that is. But anyway. But he says, be swift to hear, be ready to hear and obey the word. This word also means to give an audience. Have you ever heard that? Give an audience. People said the audience of one. You know, I looked at that and I started digging deeper, and it says to grant attention for someone to speak to you privately. We're here corporately. Yes? But this word to hear means, don't worry about what is he telling that other person. What is he telling you? Are you giving him an audience? Do you grant, do you say, I want you to speak to me privately. Talk to me. So what the Holy Spirit tells you, might not be telling somebody else. That's the individual part of who he is inside your life, giving you what you need at that moment. Amen. See, this is more than just be a don't be a hearer, just be a doer, and then move on. No. We need to dig in. And that's what we're doing about digging into this thing and understanding. Y'all remember Samuel over in 1 Samuel, and it's Samuel and Eli. Little Eli is being dedicated to the Lord, and actually the Lord adopts him. And he's living at a young age, 5 years old, and he starts living with Eli. Eli is the priest, and he is training and teaching him, because he's up in age, and he's training and teaching him. So why are you bringing that up? Well, there's something about that story that you need to, you probably remember it. But you know, he's laying down. Now, we don't know the age. We don't really know the age, but we know he's not a teenager. But he went when he was five. But somewhere in his life, he's laying down, and he hears Samuel. Samuel. So he gets up, goes to Eli, and says, "Yes, what do you need?" Eli wakes up. "I didn't call you. What are you doing in here? Go back to bed." He goes back to bed, and a little bit later, Samuel. Why must that man make his mind up? Hey, what do you need? I heard you call me. He said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed. Go to sleep. Go back to bed." He did that three times. Then it dawned on Eli. It came to him. Oh, I'm not calling him, but he hears somebody calling him. So he said, "You go on back, get in the bed." He said, "That happens again. You say this. You say this to the Lord." What, y'all remember what he said? "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Now I'm telling you, that ought to be something that we put on the refrigerator. You hear, every time you open this, every time you and I open this Bible, every time you and I start studying, reading or whatever, every time we come to a message, every time we come to church, every time we ought to be saying what? "Speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. I'm hearkened to what you have to tell me today." Once again, it's not about the messenger. It's about the message from the messenger. What's God telling you? "Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening." That should be the prayer of our hearts all the time. Open the word, hear in a message, "Speak, Lord." We often get into the routine. Have you ever been in a routine about church? Go, sit, end, go to work, wait another week, come back. Okay, got to do my duty. See, this is not a duty. This is a desire. This is a passion. I can't live without it. The gathering together of his people saying, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me." Listen, I remember, it's been years ago, I was preaching a message, and someone came to me after, and it's probably been 10 years ago, at least. And I said, "I really did appreciate your message." And I said, "Well, give him the glory." And she said, "But what I really appreciated was what God told me in the message." And I said, "Well, what was that?" And she said, "I need to treat my husband better." I'm telling you the truth. I need to treat my husband better. I said, I didn't preach on husbands or marriage today. She said, no, you didn't. But I heard the Spirit of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, it led her into thinking, whatever the message was about, it led her into thinking that how she treats her husband was what he said, you need to treat him better. Are y'all with me? You know, we like to go to these passages where, you know, God loves me, he'll never leave me, all of that is great. All of that is great and it is true. But we can't be selective. This says be a doer of the word. Let's move on. Because sure as a world, if I don't move on from that, he's going to lead me over out of that passage and say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And I want to say, Lord, that was written before she was ever born. So you might not know. You know what I'm saying? That's a fleshly thing. It really is. But see, to begin with, said, okay, I'm going to move. You can't move past that. That's what the Lord is speaking to you to be a doer of the word. Husbands, family, children, employees, employers, school teachers, auto mechanics. He speaks to us in all parts of life to be able to follow and be a doer of his word no matter what your occupation is. Be that doer. Be the one that's going to take action to what you've heard. So he says, speak. He said, slow to speak does not mean slow in speaking. I sort of match that a little bit, slow in talking. I've had some people say, need to hurry up a little bit. And I said, okay, I get it. slow to speak. They're slow to speak. But see, we have a culture today that really don't want to be slow to speak. Have you ever been around people that they talked and talked and talked and talked and talked? Talk to me. Do you hear what I'm saying? All of a sudden it's like you can't get a word in. What is that? Edgewise. In other words, the word's like this. If you turn that word around this way, you can't even get it in. He said, mm-mm, mm-mm. See, it's another imperative. Be slow. Be slow to be able to be a talkative person. Be slow. See, but a lot of people like to hear them. Why do you, ask one person, so why do you talk so much? It's been a long time. I remember where I was at when I did it. I said, why do you talk so much? He's burning my ears. It was a hurt cell on these. I said, why do you talk so much? Every time I'm around you, you're talking. You know, he said, well, I got a lot to say. And I said, this is true, but I don't have a lot to listen to. You know, but he said, no, I just got a lot to say. He really likes to hear himself talk. I got to prove my point. No, don't worry about your point. Be slow to be speaking. When somebody is talking, don't interrupt. Wait for them. Wait till at least till they take a quick breath. That's when you can jump in. Wait. Don't be an interrupt. Now you can say, hold it a second. Yeah, matter of fact, I was corrected one time, more than once. But I was corrected one time. I walked up. Somebody was talking, and I walked up, and I said, I don't mean to interrupt, but I went to da 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 da. And this person said, you did mean it too. It was like, I looked at her and I said, you're exactly right. I meant to interrupt you. I repent. I lied. I did mean to interrupt. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? But here, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. It's okay. Say, oh me, or amen, one or the other. I'm okay. Proverbs 10, 19 says, where there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. Where there's a whole lot of words, transgression is unavoidable. Boy, that's powerful. I'd rather be a man of few words and then let the words really count when I do talk. He said, when there's many words, transgression is unavoidable. He said, but he who restrains his lips is wise. You want to be a wise person? Tell them lips to button up just a minute. All right, let's move on. Slow to anger. Let's look at that one. Slow to anger. We're going to finish this message next week. Everybody say slow to anger.
Slow to anger.
Everybody say slow to anger. This word anger does not mean be explosive or an outrage. That's not what he's talking about. Well, I don't do that. No, that's not what he's talking about. But what James is telling here said, here's some things that you are not able to hear and be eager to hear what God has to tell you because you're talking too much. You have anger. So what is he talking about here? This anger that he's saying is to be slow to anger. What he's saying is, do not harbor in your heart, in your life. Do not hold in bitterness, resentment. Are you with me? Somebody told me one time before, said, I'm not angry, I'm just aggravated. And he said, well, that's anger at about 20 miles an hour. It really sort of helped me, said anger. No, that's anger, it's just going 20. You know, but anyway, but this thing about being slow to anger, do not harbor in you. This thing about harboring bitterness in your heart. You know, he goes on in that same verse, he says, it does not activate or bring about the righteousness of God. Anytime you hold resentment, anger, see, Boy, I tell you, this is meddling right here. This is, how many of you ever met somebody? Hey, how are you doing? That's good to see you. And it back down deep, you're like, I don't like this person. I wish they would leave. Because all this harboring of whatever it is that they either did, they said, or how they treated you, or what all of a sudden you're holding that. And the Bible tells us what that does. That works against the righteousness of God that is in you. See, this is more than just, don't be just a doer, be a hearer. I mean, don't be a hearer, just be a doer. It's a lot more in this if we just take the time to study it out, to break it out. And that's part of what God gives. You know, somebody said, you're more of a teacher than you're a preacher. I said, I don't claim to be a preacher. I said, but I know I'm a teacher, and the reason I know I'm a teacher, he gives me things to teach. All of a sudden, I can read the scriptures, and this comes out. But we need preachers. We need the whole body doing what it is that we're supposed to be doing. But he says, be slow to anger. It means, to listen deeply and not come up with clever arguments why I'm not listening. Well, I got too much to do. And throwing pots around. He's late again. Are y'all with me? It's like all of a sudden this thing comes up and says, y'all heard this one time before, and I'm going to have to close. Y'all heard this one time before. I was here. It's been years ago, too. I was here, and there's a lot going on. I don't know what was doing something, construction work in here and all. But I went home, and it was about 9:30, quarter to 10, and, And I walked in and had my briefcase and walked in, and Brenda said, "There's my little warrior." I dropped my briefcase and just, I just really needed it. It had been a rough day. There's my little warrior, And I'm like, praise God. Thank God. Had a good, she finally got saved. I'm teasing. No. All right, the next, I'm going to close if I can. If I don't lose you, I'm going to close. But no, see, this is a teaching moments of God. I remember it plain as day. The next day, I come in, and it's not a quarter to 10. It's almost 10:30. I'm walking in, and I'm expecting that big. So I walked in. She wasn't at the door this time. I walked in. She's in the kitchen. I laid the briefcase down and walked in the kitchen where she's at, and she wheeled around. She said, "About time you got home." I said, "What happened to the little warrior?" "That last night. You need to get home quicker than 10:30. You know, but see, it's a learning moment for me. Yeah, I was busy, but there is a verse in the Bible that says, I took a wife. You know, sometimes I'll be somewhere and say, "No, I got to go." And I've been at Terry Wilson before, and I said, "I got to go." And I said, "Oh, you don't have to go. You can stay." And he said, I took a wife. It's not a bad thing. It's like, no, there's a balance in all that we do. All right, anyway. Be slow to anger, harboring the resentment. He said, you need to understand all of this right here will hinder you from the number one thing is to be quick to hear the word of God. Be talking all the time and being angry hinders me from hearing what God has to say. You know, sometimes we get so bitter about things, and then something about God won't God. We hear this, your name, Brenda. No, I shouldn't have used Brenda. I apologize. Forgive me. John. I really meant it for John. It just hit too early. John. I said, John. When you begin to hear that, you understand that. Wait a minute. God, but see, if you harbor anger, a lot of times when we're angry at people, we don't hear nothing God has to say. That's true. You know, because we don't like that part. No, let me choose this menu over here where it says, God loves you no matter what you do. Okay. Here, that's what we talked about today. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Don't start making up these excuses. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the word. And I know, Holy Spirit, that you are speaking to people's hearts. It may be about marriage. It may be about anything else concerning their life. And I thank you that you're at work already touching our lives with whatever you want us to know. But I pray in the name of Jesus that we would mature and become more grown up and are walking out what you've put in us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. How many got the word this morning? Well, that was good. That was good eating. Speaking of marriage, we have a marriage banquet coming up, and you need to sign up for it if you want to come, because there's a cutoff of February 8th because we are having it catered. And so get there, sign up, because it's going to be wonderful. It's February 14th, and they're going to teach you a lot of things. Everybody's looking at me like, huh? I'll tell you one thing they're going to teach you. Men, did you know your wives are fragile? When I got married, I was told, hey, your wife is like a flower. She's fragile. Be careful. 30 years later, I'm going to tell you that's true, but they left out a part. She's also fragile like TNT. You got to be gentle. It'll blow up on you, I'm telling you. So this is the things you're going to learn. I'm going to have to repent. I mean, not mine. I'm just by the testimony of someone else. I mean, I'm projecting. Now, seriously, if I'm going to say this real quick. If you don't hear anything else I say in the announcements, hear this. Go to fathersvineyard.org, click on the info button, and see all the things that's going on in his house. Here's the reason why. To fully tell you everything that's going on, we would need about 2 minutes per ministry. Do you know how long it would take to do that? We would be up here for 40 minutes. Seriously, when you consider what's going on in our prison ministry, when you consider what's going on over in Mexico, when you consider what's going on in the ministries within the house, it would be a 40-minute infomercial up here. And nobody got time for that, right? So we got to hit the highlights and tell you. But go over there. But I want to hit a few highlights real quick. Youth is going to Ford this coming year. So get signed up for that. Get with Austin on that. This month is Sanctity of Human Life Month. We support a ministry here in a community called Hands of Hope. We believe in these folks. Go over to our website. There's videos. There's material there that you can click on. See all the things that's going on there, because I could not do it justice up here. But there's a lot of things, and there's ways that you can pray. There's ways that you can get involved. And we can be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, but you can get involved there as well. Our youth is going to Winter Jam. So if you want to get involved with that, the youth are going to Winter Jam February 20th. Tickets are $40 each. So make sure you get going on that. And stay tuned. There's all kinds of things going on with our life group situation. So you want to see what's going on there, because we're going to be touching on that and really making an effort in that area of ministry as well. So all of that, there's a video, as a matter of fact, on our website at fathersvineyard.org /info. See all of that there so you can see all the things that's going on, because there's a lot of things that God's doing in his church, amen? And he wants you to be a part, amen? And I want to be a part. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and say thank you. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this service. Thank you for this meal that you prepared for us by your servants, God, the praise team, the pastor, and all the things that ushered in your spirit and your word. Lord, we have just been just inundated with your spirit this morning. So we thank you for it, and we ask you that it would not just be seeds that are just landing here, but Lord, they're going to take root, and we're going to act on them throughout the week. We love you, we praise you, and we can't wait to see what you're going to do in our lives this week. In your name we pray, amen. Be blessed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.